Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services at the Kerwin Baptist Church located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
A king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us, listen to this, and fight our battles. Are you kidding me? God had won every battle he had ever fought for them. Now they wanted a man to fight their battles for them. Look at verse 21. Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them, or repeated them, told them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. Now you look at me. In less than a couple weeks, we are going to be voting on a president, and the reason is because of 1 Samuel chapter 8. Now you look at me. We have people in charge now because we didn't want God in charge then.
Yes, sir. You're right.
God always designed it that he was to be the king. He was to be the head. That's God's word teaches that principle from the first word of it to the last word of it. God's design was always that God would be in charge. That God would be king. But we men and women and flesh and humans, we don't want God to reign over us. So we decided we want man to be king. We want someone else to be over us. Now listen to me. This is a system that God did not prefer. The only way things will ever work out right is if God is the king and everyone else answers to him. But us men decided that we wanted a man to be king, and God abided by our wishes. God said, all right, make them a king. Listen to me. Our whole voting system, our whole government system of a president and whatever, you go to any nations of a king and princes and all this stuff, look at me. They are all man-made systems, and they will not work. Now, I know some of you are like, what are you talking about, preacher? I want you to get this. Please, we keep trying to change the leaders instead of asking God to change the people that vote them in. As long as you have human leaders, you're going to have faults. You're going to have failures. You're going to have sin. You're going to have flesh. You're going to have dishonesty. You're going to have all that. Why? Because God never wanted that. God was supposed to be king. God is King of kings and Lord of lords. But we decided we wanted man in charge. So we have gotten what we wanted. I'm not trying to discourage you, depression. I'm not saying that, listen, there are good people that get in office and we ought to try our hardest. God told us in his word already that I've read you, this is how you are to choose leaders. But we weren't supposed to choose who was king. God was king. But after we removed him, now we are stuck with what we wanted. From that point on, look at me, God ordained leaders. God ordained authority. That's why Romans chapter 13, you have that passage there on your sheet. Let me just read it to you. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. You say, well, preacher, that don't make sense because there's people in power right now, but they're not of God. They don't have anything to do with God. They totally disagree with God. Look at me. God's not ordaining that person. He ordained that position. He ordains leadership. Why? Because that's what we wanted. So, listen to me, get this. God wanted to be king. We didn't want him as king. We wanted man to be king. And God said, all right, if that's what you want, then I'll let man be your king. But guess what? If this is what you want, I'm telling you right now, you're going to have to subject yourself to it. If you don't want my authority, you want his authority, it's still authority, and you're going to have to answer to it. That's why you and I have laws that we think are absolutely dumb, but we still have to abide by them. Why? Because they're godly? Because they're of the... No, they couldn't be more against the Bible. But because we decided we want men as leaders, and now we get what we wanted. So everybody's wanting to try to fix everything, and folks, I'm here to tell you, the system's flawed because man is flawed. And where it all started wrong in 1 Samuel 8 is exactly what's still wrong now. Look at me. The only way to make it right is for God to be king. It's the only way to make it right. Can I tell you something? We can't change leaders. God can.
Yes, sir.
You hear me?
Yes, sir.
We can talk to them until we're blue in the face. But they're going to have 50 more people talk to them on the other side. For every one of us that teach conservative Christian principles, there's 100 people in their ear telling them other things. This system is flawed because man is flawed, and man is flawed because of sin. We have gotten what we wanted.
Yeah, you're right.
And all these years, God should be king, but he's not. He made them a king. Now, you say, preacher, okay, well, I appreciate the really encouraging message this morning. Thank you for living positive and joyful. Now, as I leave and depress myself half to death. No. That's where we strayed. You got to understand. Why are we in a mess? Why is America getting worse and worse? Because we got what we wanted. We wanted another king. And from that moment, it was doomed. Because that system's not going to work. You know why? It only works right when God is king. So then the next question people always ask this is, well, how am I supposed to pray? Am I even supposed to vote? Am I even supposed to get involved? How am I supposed to do this? Oh yes. Now listen, I want you to get this on your sheet. And this is why I want you to keep it. Because everybody's, what we do is we always get up and say, you need to pray for our country. Well, how? What are we supposed to pray for? Hey, you need to pray for this election. Well, and what? What am I supposed to ask for specifically? If you're like me growing up in church, people make statements and I have all these questions. Well, it's just a broad statement. Well, tell me specifically what I'm supposed to do. And what does the Bible say about this? And so that's just the way I think. And so I want you to understand, and I encourage you to this morning, I just want to give you these. And I want you to look at these verses if you can. Now, if you don't feel like turning all of them, I understand I'm going to read them. But you need to look at this, and I want you to have it so that you can go back through it, because as you pray for our country, I think that we should be praying different than you think we should be praying. Number one, on your sheet, I want you to notice this, Psalm 22, just two verses there. If you can turn there, you've already got these passages ahead of time, and I would have put the verses on there, but it was just too many. I would have had to give you five sheets of paper if we would have done it. Psalm 22 in verse 27 and 28, listen to what it says. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, shall return unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of all the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Prayer number one that we should be praying during this election time for our country is this. Lord, we acknowledge that you are sovereign and in control. Can I tell you, that's the first thing you and I should tell the Lord when we pray for anything.
Yes, sir, you're right.
God, you are sovereign and you are in control. You know, for us to oftentimes, the way we talk about things, they are getting worse and worse. But look at me, folks, they're getting worse and worse because we have people in charge. And if we were in charge, they would have gotten worse and worse too.
Yes, sir, you're right.
It all messed up when we took God out of control. When we moved him out of the throne and put a man in, it's always been bad. But you and I have got to understand God is still in control. He's still sovereign. And he needs to know that we know that. Number two, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You don't need to turn there. You know this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. So according to this passage, not even going through the whole repentance and turning, we've already dealt with all that. Prayer number two is this, Lord, forgive us because we have failed you. Not the liberal crowd.
That's right. You're right.
Lord, forgive us because we have failed you, and please heal our nation despite our failure.
Amen.
We come to God sometimes demanding that he fix things as if we weren't involved in ruining it.
Yes, you're right.
Amen.
Y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
We come to God as if, well, it's a mess, God. You need to fix this. And it's like, and I'm not God. We all ought to be thankful for that. But I can imagine God saying, well, wait a minute. Are you at least going to acknowledge that you're to blame? Are you at least going to acknowledge that you have failed.
Yes, sir.
God didn't remove himself from the throne. The people did. So you and I, we've got to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face. We've got to admit, God, I've failed you. We have failed you. But would you please heal our nation despite my failure?
Yeah, amen. Well said.
It means, God, we don't deserve you to fix anything because we're the one that messed it up. But we're asking for your mercy.
Yeah.
Notice this third, Job chapter 12. You're like, Job? Election? Job? Yeah. Love this. Job chapter 12, this is what Job says about the Lord. I love this. Verse 17, he leadeth counselors away spoiled and maketh the judges fools. He looseth the bond of kings and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt on princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of the darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. Listen to what Job says about God. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. Wow. What is Job saying here? He's saying, let me tell you something. God does what God wants to do. He is over the kings. He is over the princes. He is stronger than them. He is mightier than them.
Amen.
He doesn't answer to the president. The president answers to God.
Amen.
That's why Daniel chapter 2, listen to what Daniel has to say. I'll just read this to you. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. Prayer number 3. Lord, would you restore our nation and remove those leaders who govern in a manner that is against your will? These verses just say God sets up kings and takes them down. Look at me. What we often pray is, God, would you remove so-and-so because I don't like them. That's not prayer that works. That's prayer after the... Look at me. What we have to pray is, God, you remove leaders that govern against your will. That way it's about God. We don't want people removed because we don't like them. Or they don't believe like we do. We want people removed because they're against God's will.
Amen.
So here's what we ask. The Bible says God takes them down. God sets them up. God's over them. God can move whoever he decides to move. And that's why we as Christians should be praying. God, we're asking you to restore. The Bible says in Job 12:23 that he increaseth the nations and he destroys them. He enlarges the nations and straighteneth them again. God's able to build our nation. God's able to restore it. God's able to do great things in it. So God, would you restore our nation and would you remove those leaders that hinder that and go against your will? That's biblical prayer. Notice number 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 verses here. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Listen to this. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Not everybody's a believer. Not everybody believes God's word. Not everybody follows that. And folks, look at me. Not everybody's a Christian. And not everybody thinks God's word is true. So what do we pray? Lord, please give us leaders that will allow your word to be furthered. And please protect us from unreasonable, wicked rulers. What did he say? Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Can I tell you why elections are so important? Because we get the wrong people in like we've been doing. Pretty soon I'm not going to be able to preach God's word. We're not going to be able to teach God's word. We're not going to be able to quote God's word. They're going to try to get every Bible that we have. And they've been doing it. Kings have been doing it for years, trying to quench God's word. So what we have to pray is that God will give us leaders that will allow his word to be furthered. Folks, that's God's will. It's God's will always that his word is able to be furthered.
Amen.
Notice this. He says, deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men. We've got to pray, God, you're going to have to protect us from wicked leaders. Unreasonable. Notice, if you will, our next prayer. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me read this to you. Submitting yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God. Listen. That with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, this is where we always get messed up. We say, how can I respect an individual that does the things? Listen, God doesn't say you have to. Listen to this. This is our prayer. Lord, help our leaders to respect you and help us to be respectful to our leaders. Can I tell you something? I don't have to respect somebody to act respectful to them. There might be things we can't respect in individuals' lives, but what we are to do is to respect that position, because God said we are to submit ourselves to every ordinance of who? Man. Guess who we put in charge? Man. Why do you think God said it that way? He's reminding us, you wanted man? Now you need to abide by the rules that he comes up with. Now you have to honor the laws that they have put in place. You wanted man, you got him. So you respectful, be respectful. Listen, I want you to understand, we don't accomplish anything by being idiots. God says, listen, that with our well-doing we may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That means even though that we don't respect individuals, we should always act respectful towards them and that authority so that we can win ignorant people. If we don't do that, we act just as ignorant as they are. Okay, next, and I'm almost done. Next prayer. Oh, this is big. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Next prayer. Lord, help me to be able to disagree without doing damage. God says we're to be no brawlers. The Bible says we're to show meekness to all men. Bible says we're to speak evil of no man. What does that mean? It means this, that folks, listen, we ought to disagree with a whole lot that's out there. But oftentimes we disagree in a way that does damage to the cause of Christ. So my prayer in the middle of this election should be, it doesn't matter who's elected. Let me tell you something. It shouldn't change the fact that I am meek and honorable and love the Lord, and I'm going to be respectful, and I'm going to be the kind of Christian God told me to be.
Amen.
It means that I can disagree without doing damage. God, help us be those kind of people. Notice, if you will, Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Next prayer is this. Lord, please give us godly leaders and help us to be a presence of righteousness, even if they are not. It doesn't say who had to have it. It just said righteousness exalts a nation. So God, we need righteous leaders. But if we don't get them, help us to be the presence of righteousness in this country. Because even if we have bad leaders, folks, look at me. This country still needs righteous people. Notice the next prayer, if you would. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Whoa, wait a minute. Let me start over. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What does that mean, preacher? Notice this prayer. Lord, thank you for our leaders. Preacher, I am not thankful. God said we are to give thanks for all men, kings, and all that are in authority. Now listen, get what God's saying here. Lord, thank you for our leaders. Help them, bless them, and use them. Influence them to make decisions that allow us to live a peaceable, godly life. God said, listen, you do this. You pray for these individuals so that you, in turn, can live a peaceable, godly life. But if you and I criticize everybody, but we don't pray for them, guess what the result's going to be? We're not going to be able to be a Christian and live a peaceful life here. We're going to be put in jail. We're going to be persecuted. Why? Because we've been so busy criticizing everybody, which we can criticize beliefs and disagree with them according to God's word. But what we haven't been doing is praying for them. That means this. Look at me. God doesn't have to get a Christian in the White House for God to use them. God turns the heart of the kings, remember? God doesn't have to have a Christian, a Republican, a Democrat. It doesn't matter who's in there. God can use them if he wants to. So we should pray for him. Hey, our guy, our whatever didn't get in, our judge, our governor, whatever, he didn't get in. I'm just mad. Well, start praying for who's in there. Because you never know, God might get through to them. Notice this next prayer, Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Lord, please help our leaders to be exposed to biblical counsel and help them to follow it. You know what you ought to be praying? Whoever is in leadership, that somehow, some way, somebody on their cabinet, somebody on their committee, somebody in their campaign, somebody that in their house, somewhere, somehow, that they're going to be around somebody that's going to give biblical counsel, that's going to give godly wisdom from God's word. And somehow, some way, maybe that'll take root, take seed, and they'll make decisions based on biblical wisdom, even though they might not be in the Bible. And I might not read it every day like God's word said that leaders were supposed to. But you and I need to pray that they somehow get biblical counsel and that they follow it. Notice last, Ezra chapter 6. And the children of Israel, which were coming in out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat. These people, they forsook all the evil stuff, all the stuff out of the country, and what they did was the filthiness of the flesh. They separated themselves from it. Listen to this. And kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord had made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. I'm not going to go through the whole story. I don't have time. But this is just one of the many passages I could give you where God turned the heart of the king. Well, you and I need to pray over these next few weeks is this, Lord, would you turn the heart of our leaders towards you. I've showed you in these prayers, we should ask for godly leaders. We should ask God to put godly people, Christians, in those positions. We've prayed that. But what we need to pray is whoever is in leadership. Because even good, godly Christians can make bad decisions. Look at me. Do you know that it could be that we have an independent Baptist in the White House and he could still make very bad, wrong decisions? Getting a Christian isn't what's going to do it. Getting maybe a conservative isn't necessarily going to do it. Getting somebody that thinks like you do isn't going to do it. God's going to have to do it. And that's what we've got to ask God to do. Turn, God, the heart of our leaders towards you. Many of you, so many of you have asked, how do I pray? I hope this answers it. You have it, and I encourage you over these next... I was going to do this the Sunday before election, but I thought we need 2 weeks to pray. We need as much time right now to pray somehow that God will restore our nation somehow, some way. And I don't know about you, but this ought to make it specific. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I love you. And Lord, I don't normally do something like this on a Sunday morning. But Lord, I believe prayer works. And I believe it really works when we pray specifically according to your word. And Lord, every one of these prayers have come straight from the principles of these verses. And Lord, we should not have our own agenda. We should only want yours. And God, I'm asking you right now, would you put the right people in office? Would you give us godly leaders? God, would you allow us to continue to further your word? God, please don't allow leaders and Supreme Court justices and judges and all these, don't allow these people in that's going to end up stopping your word. Lord, I know that's your will for your word to be furthered. God, please, would you do that? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. What I'd like to ask you to do, let's all stand if you would. And I would like to encourage you, and I say this kindly, especially men. I don't normally just ask, but if, I mean, men and women, but especially our men, we are to be obviously the head, the responsible people of our homes, the leaders. And men, we shouldn't ask our wives to do something we're not willing to do first. And I'm asking if you could come find an altar, find a place at the front, kneel at your seat, whatever you have to do. And I want to ask you this morning if we could pray for our country. I'm going to ask you this morning if we could begin right now praying these specific principles that God would bless in a few weeks this election. And whatever the results are, that we would continue to pray that God would turn the heart of those leaders towards Him. You find a place where you can pray. And if you would pray for me as I pray. Lord, we acknowledge that you are sovereign and in control. And Lord, I'm asking that you would restore our nation and you would remove any leaders who govern in a way or a manner that's against your will. And God, please, would you give us leaders that allow your word to be furthered? Please protect us from unreasonable leaders and wicked leaders. God, I pray that you would help us to be respectful to our leaders and leadership. And Lord, in turn, I pray that they would be respectful to you. And Lord, help us to be able to disagree without doing damage. God, please give us godly leaders and help us, Lord, to be the presence of righteousness in this nation. And Lord, we want righteous presidents and we want righteous Senate members and we want righteous congressmen. But Lord, even if they're not, help us to be the righteous presence that we need to be. And Lord, thank you for our leaders. I pray you would help them and bless them and use them. And Lord, influence them to make decisions that would allow us to live a Christian life in peace. And Lord, would you please help our leaders somehow, some way, to hear and be exposed to biblical counsel. And God, please help them to follow it. And Lord, we're asking that you would somehow, because we know you're able, would you turn the heart of our leaders, our president, our Congress, our Senate, our state's governor, our state's judges, our state Supreme Court, our country Supreme Court, all the way down, Lord, to our sheriffs and all our elected officials. Lord, please, would you turn their heart towards you? And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from the broadcast. Our church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. Our service times are Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 10:45 on Sundays, and 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday evening. Also on Wednesdays, we have our midweek prayer service at 7 and the Awana Clubs for our children. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin broadcast today. God bless you.